In a mansion tucked on the southeast side of Rittenhouse Square in Philadelphia sits one of the world's most influential music conservatories. On this week's News and Views, we profile the Curtis Institute of Music. Alums include Leonard Bernstein, Samuel Barber, and more recently, pianist Long Long, violinist Hilary Hahn, and New York Philharmonic Music Director Alan Gilbert. And although their rosters are always changing, student ensembles, as well as its voice, conducting, and composition departments, have a steady surge of energy, enthusiasm, and exceptional young talent. It all emanates from a few blocks in Center City, Philadelphia, where students now have a new facility for practicing, rehearsing, taking classes, and eating meals. They start them young here. Well, not that young. Curtis students who come from 19 different countries range in age from around 10 to 28 years old. A majority are in the late teens or early 20s, seeking a bachelor's in music. The high-tech Lenfest Hall supplements the historic main building and includes a 3,200-square-foot rehearsal hall able to accommodate a large orchestra or a single bass trombone player.
Hi, I'm Nathan Lodge, a fourth-year student from Charleston, South Carolina. I look on the schedule every day to see when there's a rehearsal, and if there's not and it's available, I like to practice here because it's awesome. It's really resonant, and you can really hear your sound.
Across the hallway, Ted Babcock, a second-year student from Massachusetts, is getting in some drum practice before his lesson in a room loaded with percussion instruments.
The percussion facilities used to be in the basement.
These new facilities are just spectacular.
It's completely soundproofed and a ton of space, so we finally have enough space.
On the next News and Views, the history and evolution of Curtis. You can hear this entire three-part series online at WRTI.org. I'm Susan Lewis, WRTI News. In 1924, publishing heiress Mary Louise Curtis Bach purchased three buildings on Rittenhouse Square. And with the support of Philadelphia Orchestra music director Leopold Stokowski and celebrated pianist Joseph Hoffman, opened the doors of the Curtis Institute of Music. On this week's News and Views, we look at the history and impact of this influential music conservatory. Eleanor Sokoloff, who has been teaching piano at Curtis for over 75 years, was 17 when she arrived as a student in 1931.
Mrs. Bach was running the school. Joseph Hoffman was there. Well, there were great faculty, and everything was very formal. You had to follow certain rules and regulations, even in your attire.
Mrs. Bach had been active in Settlement Music School, where she helped establish a conservatory division for gifted students. In founding Curtis, says President Roberto Diaz, Bach aimed to create a conservatory in the European tradition.
Like the great European conservatories, no one that has the potential and the talent should be kept from being able to study here because of financial circumstances.
Today, Curtis, with a total enrollment of under 170, is very small and very selective. Composer David Ludwig, chair of performance and the grandson of Rudolf Serkin, says an exceptionally low student-faculty ratio fosters mentoring relationships.
Some departments have four teachers for five students. It's almost like a guild system where you have a teacher, and that teacher is really responsible not just for teaching you how to play notes, but for mentoring you to become a young professional out in the world.
On the next News and Views, how Curtis today trains young musicians for musical careers in the 21st century. You can hear this entire three-part series online at WRTI.org. I'm Susan Lewis, WRTI News. Since its founding in 1924, the Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia has been led by a series of directors who have also had performing careers. On this week's News and Views, we look at how the esteemed Music Conservatory is teaching by example and preparing classical musicians for the 21st century. While Curtis originally focused on solo careers, current director, Roberto Diaz, former principal viola of the Philadelphia Orchestra, says each director added his own dimension.
Rudolf Serkin, I think, had a particular love and affinity for chamber music. With John Delancey, the orchestral program became highly visible. With Gary Grafman, you started to see that senior recitals became very important.
Diaz, who took the helm of Curtis in 2006, is determined that, in addition to the exceptional musical training the school continues to provide, students must be equipped to face a changing world. He champions the importance of liberal arts offerings, outreach programs, and partnerships that engage the local community, as well as touring and the use of internet technology to connect students with places all over the world.
To try to really make them aware of as many things as possible that go on around them. And, you know, to really make them realize that they have tremendous responsibilities that go beyond how well they play.
Chair of Performance at Curtis, composer David Ludwig.
Being a great musician is not just being a great instrumentalist. It's about being a great performer, a great advocate, being a member of the community. And really, it is about being relevant.
With the concert hall now competing with other ways to experience music, staying relevant also includes keeping up with technology and the way music is distributed in the 21st century. Curtis's new building, Lenfest Hall, embodies this commitment to the future with Wi-Fi throughout the building and recording capabilities in teaching studios. Curtis also gives concerts, recitals, and opera performances, many open to the public. You can hear this entire three-part series online at WRTI.org. I'm Susan Lewis, WRTI News.